You know, it's a recordings like this that you really say, I wish I would have written down some stuff, made some notes, or even just written the whole thing out so that everybody, so I can say everything that needs saying. Thursday, I forget what day it is. Gracious, it's January 16th. State conference is coming in 2 days. Begins. We are getting a visit from Bishop Gerald Cossé. Gerald Cossé. Sorry, he's French. It brings to mind all kinds of interesting stuff. One of the largest is, at least by tradition, and by what little family history we have available to us, on the Jewish side, male members of my family, direct descendants of Aaron from the Bible. And there are interesting, I don't know if you call them prophecies, interesting instructions as to literal descendants of Aaron and the office of bishop in the church. Much has been said in the way of, I don't know what the right way to say it is, reverse apologetics, trying to give many reasons why the things spoken of in the Doctrine and Covenants about bishops and what they are about aren't applicable to our times. And I'm not one of those people. I cannot say. I've often wondered and said, oh, Guy, what? Are the brethren just not looking for literal descendants of Aaron? I think they've set up a mechanism so they might be able to detect one. You know, before a bishop can be called, the name has to be sent to the First Presidency, the Office of the First Presidency. And they approve this action. You know, some people say, well, it's only the presiding bishop is that person. The rest of them aren't. You go, don't know that either. Don't know that. I don't know. I am not rabbinical. I don't get wrapped too much up in tradition, nor in squabbling over this and that meaning, how this should be manifested. The central authority of what is now Judaism, what was simply the children of Israel, the Aaronic high priest, his responsibilities to the tabernacle and then to the temple. These are very interesting things. Does there need to be a central authority? Of course there does. There needs to be some person, the whole, one of the concepts of being a judge is to determine what proper practice will be. However, That wasn't what I wanted to talk about at all. What I want to talk about was the idea of stewardships. The whole role of bishops has, at least in the last days, much to do with stewardships and consecration. And these things are really somewhat held in abeyance. Some people look at it that way. And I guess that's a reasonably honest way of looking at it. Instead of giving all to the church and then being divided back your portion, this is interesting because you can only really do that maybe once. That's not necessarily true. You can always go back in and have this reassessed. An important sub-stewardship. Christ spoke of stewardships. A lot of his life typified a stewardship. And when it came down to doing his atonement, that was his lot given to him by the Father. And although it was difficult, and he even said it would be really wonderful, although he didn't say exactly like that. He said, but if it can pass from me, let's do so, but it's thy will, not mine. Many of the parables are studies on stewardship. Parable of the talents, especially. But not the only one. Anytime it's brought up about a steward and how one shall work, and that the Lord goes off, and isn't the Lord in some measure somewhat distant from us? Father himself only comes to identify the Son, to say to hear him. And that's pretty much where his role in the telestial world ends. Such is our distance. Only rarely do we get visitations from Jesus Christ. On that, we're often handled by angels, and the largest intersection with the divine that we have is through the Holy Ghost. And a telestial world, that is the only God we can have. Now, during this mortal sojourn, Satan himself says that he is the God of this world, and that's kind of, I don't know exactly how to phrase it. Only comes because we end up following Satan, and he ends up being our God, or many people's God. I hope it's not mine, but that we are easily beset. Now this is still, we have to know that this world that we are on, there is no particular name for it. We call it Earth. Is going to be celestialized, and that comes far enough in the future that it's not terribly interesting to our lives here. What is interesting to our lives? Oh, well, that's, I can't say that because, of course, during our mortal sojourn is where we for lack of a better term, earn the trust that we can live in a celestial realm. But what immediately faces us is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Time when he comes to make this world his again. Sweeps away all that cannot bear a terrestrial existence. Because that's what he's doing. He's ushering this world into the next world. We sometimes call it the millennial day. The 1,000 years of, I don't know, peace and joy. Relatively so, given, conditions that we live under now. All of this, you know, people can say, well, we have to do it. We have to make it happen. And you go, I am sure we will be put to the labor. Several things. We still, you know, Zion still has to be built. A Zion people need to, come to pass. The bishop, and I don't know under what circumstances this will work. The way the law of the church works now is old interpretations of things. I'm a little skittish of the congregational bishop. I don't know if that will be a feature in the future. I've often thought that a bishop will be quasi-regional. Maybe not tied to a stake, but tied to an area. All the saints have to come to him or need to come to him to get. There's a certificate. This is a feature of the in the Doctrine and Covenants. I forget which section is on 72, but one of the other ones. That something akin to what has become our temple recommend has to be sought. Back in Joseph Smith's time, you had to have a certificate to go to Zion. You couldn't just decide one day, you know, like, oh well, the Lord is impressed upon me that I need to go to Zion and stuff like that. You needed your bishop to give you a certificate to say that you were of a sufficiently worthy status to go to Zion. Zion was to be, before there were temples, Zion looked to be that sort of a thing. And it's still, the elements of these things are still present. Makes one think that, in spite of everything that's said about perhaps Zion having been done, you know, it's done, it's finished, it was tried, it failed, and we moved on. Now, Salt Lake City, Utah, and the environs of Utah are Zion. I don't know that. Probably not, just for the very reason that one's presence in the Salt Lake Valley or Utah in general, you don't have to have a certificate to enter. This will be a feature of that. So you can think of temples as little dots of Zion-like places. I'm still one who who thinks that Jackson County and its environments will be laid waste by something, and will be emptied, and certain saints will be called up to go and build Zion. And that when they get there, there will be assigned a stewardship. The law of consecration will reign in that place. People are a little too tied to their stuff down here. Celestial sphere. Not willing to give it up, to accept what the Lord will provide for them. I know they can go back to stories of Kirtland and Zion in Joseph Smith's time and say, well, look at that abject failure and the suffering of the Missouri saints coming out of Missouri. That we're going to have to be, I don't know if we're going to have to be more poignant, or if it's going to be, you know, this is, can I be honest, when I thought about it, stuff like that, said, your ability to get near Zion will be hampered for some reason. You know, I've always pictured if somebody wasn't supposed to be there, they would start throwing up. And once they had thrown up their lunch, they would have dry heaves to the point to where they cannot proceed. They'll have to be drug off at far enough of a distance so they can regain some sort of composure. Probably still going to be a certificate of some sort. But almost kind of a certificate of your mind and your body. It will be a part of you that way. And you'll either be able to come in or you will not. And go to the temple on a regular basis. And we are well instructed in the temple about a certain kind of progression. From obedience to sacrifice, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to chastity, and then consecration. Can you do these things? You have to understand the whole idea of chastity is very interesting as well. Giving us the absolute importance, the absolute centrality of chastity and how it is ignored and how much of a separation that creates. If you are not chaste, as in sexual relations with anyone except your husband or your wife, in God. We have to add that part in there these days. That these things are just as vital. Abstinence outside of God's marriage and absolute fidelity within God's marriage. And the greatest stewardship of all, which is marriage and family, and how you treat your children, and how you put it forth, and how you make it happen, are huge for the whole idea of exaltation. That that you show your ability, your standard. I talked about standard a little bit recently, but it comes up again and again now that your standard is, marriage and parenthood. Of course, the stewardship of nothing on this earth being yours, particularly, but what you do with the gifts and the materials that the Lord provides for you. But they all belong to the Lord. And He will take them back at one point. You can either offer them back, always better, or He will come and take them. And He wants a report of what you did with them. This includes your body even, everything about you. And what, I think we get a little too wrapped up in our bodies in almost a narcissistic way. There is caring for your body, and then there is turning it into some kind of weird, I don't know what. You know, the Adonis men, lack of a better term, strumpet women who sell their bodies for money. In the old days, that was called prostitution. Now it's called being a what is that thing? OnlyFans influencer or whatever. That's not the only place where these women go to peddle God's dolled up wares for money. I didn't want to talk about that particularly. I was listening to the General Conference talk by President Nelson, where he announced the bicentennial proclamation on the initiation, the coming of the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's commemorating the 200th anniversary of Joseph Smith's first vision. I wonder if at one of these points, 200 years further on, you know, when Joseph Smith was actually allowed to take the golden plates and translate them, if we might not have that similar experience and be able to get a copy, a translation of the further plates that were there. We don't have all of them, in case you don't know that. Someday when we're worthy, and I don't know when that day is, I don't know what constitutes that level of worthiness. Perhaps in this Zion that will be built, and those more worthy people will have these things. I don't know that the law of consecration can necessarily be accomplished outside of Zion or the Zion state. I don't know how exactly that works. Sometimes, I think half in jest, I say that Tucum Carry is going to be the western border of Zion. Western Gate on some level. And that those escaping the world, wickedness, or maybe even California fires, I don't know. Find their way to Tucumcari, to this beacon. This would be an interesting thing. An interesting reason why I keep coming back to Tucumcari. Because I left it. I didn't really have any intention of returning. Yet here I am again. Doing this interesting thing. And it makes me think. But it's like, well, let's think about this a little bit more. And how this will be done and accomplished. Like I said before, the biggest thing that we do for ourselves is establish what standard we are working ourselves toward and striving to hold ourselves to. Is it Christ's standard, which is the standard of the Father, or is it by some other standard? I want food. Aren't you going to give me some food? And you go, you know, why do you come to me? Or why do you come to the Lord? But it's obvious that for many people, they're not interested in the Lord's standard. They just want food. And these are resources that are meant for the poor and the needy thriving in the Lord. This is, are you striving? Are you doing what it takes to get this stewardship? So many people, boy, let me tell you, I run into these people every day when they find out I'm a Latter-day Saint. They go, oh, I could never be a Latter-day Saint. You go, oh, yeah? And they go, no, I like coffee way too much. You go, ah. Because that's a standard. When you read Doctrine and Covenant section 89 where the word of wisdom, which is the law of health, is recorded. Because it's not given by commandment, but a word of wisdom. And I'm paraphrasing wildly because it's not in front of me. For the least of them who can be called saints. And it really does become one of the great tells. Smoke, do you drink? Do you drink coffee? Do you do drugs? And then we kind of look at you and you go, you know, you should probably go and find help someplace else. This is really the biggest thing is to find that help. Governments give out help, and most people don't like that because they've got lots of rules and you've got to behave a certain way and things like that. And you go, it is what it is. You know, this is my personal take on helping the poor and the needy is that most of the poor and the needy need to get rid of vices. they're quite expensive. Drugs are expensive. Cigarettes are expensive. Oh, if you look at the prices of these designer coffees, oh my gosh, those are expensive. You go, you can solve 3/4 of your problems by getting rid of these, but it's so hard. And you go, oh yeah. It says that's primarily the help that we will offer you is. And I'll be the first to say it's a missionary effort. It's a missionary effort to break these vices, because you have to set a standard for yourself, and Christ really ends up setting that standard. Boy, this stuff is not melting. Of course, it's gonna get even rougher here. I might just decide in the future just to keep taking the road all the way to Melrose, and then on to work, because the stuff doesn't appear to be, you know, usually it'll stay on the ground maybe a day or two before it warms up enough that it melts down to water. You're getting a little bit of that, but it's still very cold. It really hasn't gotten above freezing in days. At least not significantly so. And I don't think it's really set to do that particularly for another week at least. Anyway. Really has to do with being the kind of person that does standards. Now, it says you can do standards and be poor. And that is most of what the church's welfare program is for. You know, and people say, well, you only do it for members of the church. You go, not always, but we are certainly not going to help people who will then pick up and spend whatever money they can scratch together outside of assistance given. Really none of that outside of, you know, because like these guys who were coming that had a $500 cell phone bill, and you're going, wow, you know what? It says you don't need that expensive of a cell phone. It says, in fact, our government now will give you a free cell phone and free service to go with it. And it's not a very good cell. But it does the job. You know, they'll always say, well, I have to have a phone so if I get called into work, I can go. And things like that. And you go, understandable. So you go, but there's a program for that. Please use the program. Get rid of the cell phone that you have. That $500, that buys food. That pays a bill or two that are necessary. Is it like the third world? Anyway. I'll do for the standard. We want you to, as much as possible, meet the standard of not celestial living. The basic ones. The word of wisdom. I have no problem when a bishop decides to give help, but as part of that, it is a church. Is participating in addiction recovery in some kind of addiction program. And usually from that is, it's a question of getting some sort of help. You know, people say, I shouldn't, you know, I don't want to live in the Quays anymore. The Quays are what we call premier, but is the large, public housing. I don't know how public housing works anymore. I really don't. I used to, which was basically, you know, one of the biggest things is if you can't qualify for that, we don't know what to do with you. Don't have a lot of homeless people in where I live, Tucumcari, because we have a lot of public housing. Oh, it's dawn. Dawn on the plains, the prairie, really. Up here. Regardless. So, that standard, trying to raise people to live to a certain standard, but it's really one of the few things that people that you really can't help people with. They have to make a decision to do this. And it's not anybody else's job to force another's hand. It's just not there. It's not even a good thing to do. It's quasi-satanic to force somebody to do something. Oh, however, are somewhat limited. I think I've already said everything needs to be said. I'm not going to close this out with my blessing. Not my blessing, but the blessing of my fathers. Handed down, given to us by the Lord. Maybe I will anyway. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance towards you and give you peace.